Thank you for the all the effort that went into putting the play together. I know that was a lot of work, a lot of props and costumes. So I appreciated that, and I know our Lord did as well. I think the topic will go somewhat well with the play we had today. One of my daughters had requested a sermon on this topic, so I thought it'd be suitable if we talk about it today. We saw a lot of the apostles that were here that participated this morning, and I wanted to talk about each one of them. And they were common men that were called, yet the Lord, he saw some things in these men, things that were pleasing to him. He knew he could work with them, and he called each one of them. And my daughter wanted to know about each one of the 12, and we know more about some than we do of others. And I'm going to get into this right here. And we have some scriptures in the Bible, some very important scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, help governments, diversities of tongues. So it's important that you have these positions in the church in our day. Then I've got two more on the same topic, Ephesians 2, 19 through 20. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And we should be very thankful that we live in the age of the day that we live in, because we are participating in the restoration. We know that the church was restored and we have apostles again in the church, and this is the way it was always supposed to be. And then Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, which we talked about last week, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I was thinking about this verse, and I know there's a pamphlet that the Church of Christ puts out about this topic, and they talk about the calling of apostles in our day and how it was supposed to still be in place and continue on into the future. And it says right here in this pamphlet, notes this, that until we all come into the unity of faith, is that to continue. So the definition of an apostle, and I'm talking about the 12 apostles in the Bible. All my scriptures today are going to be from the Bible. I'm not talking about the 12 disciples in this land that we live in the Book of Mormon. So an apostle is a messenger, an envoy, a delegate commissioned by another to represent him in some way, especially a man sent out by Jesus Christ himself to preach the gospel, an apostle. So if you think of a messenger, it's somebody that's sent out by somebody else that has a message that the head, Jesus Christ, wants the apostles to take to others, or an envoy or a delegate, and they were commissioned by Jesus Christ. To commission, send forth properly, someone sent commission, focusing back on the authority or the commissioning of the sender, and the sender would be Jesus Christ, and one sent on a mission. So let's open our Bibles and let's turn to Luke 6, 13, 16, and these are the two that I selected with regards to the naming of the apostles that we find in our scriptures. So Luke 16, 13 to 16. I'll start with verse 12, and it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out unto a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew." And we'll see that Bartholomew is also called Nathanael. "Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And we saw how how Judas betrayed the Lord in our play this morning. And then the next one is Mark 3:14-19. And the list is very similar. They're ordered differently in Mark in some places. So Mark 3, starting with verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James. And he surnamed those Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. So if you compare the two together, I've got Luke 6:13-16 on the left side, and then Mark 3:14-19 on the right side. So you can see how they line up, where I have the arrows pointing. And then down here at the bottom, you'll see Judas, the brother of James, is also referred to as Thaddeus in the book of Mark. But you can see the names are identical, with the exception of that difference. So I'm gonna go through this quickly. I don't have as much time today, but I'll pause long enough so you can understand what I'm saying. So we're gonna go through these. We're gonna go through these one at a time. So the first one is Simon Peter, and you can see out there in the boat is Peter and his brother Andrew. So Matthew 4:18-20, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. So I don't know, it doesn't sound like they hesitated at all here. It sounds like they recognized the importance of what Christ had asked, and they wanted to be obedient to him, and they wanted to follow him and learn from him. And they wanted to do something that they thought was important in the kingdom of God. And this fishers of men, I was thinking about this, and I know when you fish, sometimes you use different tackle, different weights. You may set your lures in a different way. And I think that's the way it works with people, that people are all different and there's different ways that we have to work with them. And this is another verse regarding Peter, John 1:42. It says, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. And Cephas, I believe, is the Greek name. It's Peter in our English. And he referred to him as a stone. And we know early on, Peter wasn't so steadfast. We know that he denied the Lord 3 times. He was brash at times. But eventually, he learned faithfulness. Acts 4:13, now when they, the Jewish council, saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. So they were not schooled, I believe, in how the Pharisees and Sadducees were, and they were unlearned in that manner. But the Lord saw something in them, even though they were unlearned men, and he called them. And then we know that Peter wrote the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And he gives his name at the beginning of these books. And this was Christ that he was speaking to Peter. John 21:18-19. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. And I believe this is a reference to the death of Peter. how he was crucified on a cross. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. So I have a summary for each one of the apostles. So for Peter, we know he was a common fisherman. He had a home early on before he was called of the Lord. It was in Bethsaida. It was on the west shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he later had a home in Capernaum, and it was on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. He was married, and he denied that he knew Christ three times. If you look in some of the epistles, it talks about how Peter had the power to have a wife, and so therefore we know he was married. Peter, James, and John were by themselves with Jesus on multiple occasions. I don't have any verses in that regard, but that happened multiple times. And like I said, he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. So he was a common fisherman, and there were many of the apostles that were fishermen, at least four of them. Peter was the first one. We'll talk about Andrew here in a second. And then according to Christian tradition, Peter was crucified in Rome under Emperor Nero. Traditionally held that he was crucified upside down at his own request. He didn't think that he was worthy enough to be crucified like Jesus Christ was, so he wanted to be crucified upside down. And this was at the Circus of Nero, which was a big outdoor amphitheater where a lot of Christians were martyred under the reign of Nero. So the next one, so Andrew, the brother of Peter, he's also out there in the boat. This is just a repeat, Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Mark 1:29, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So I believe that both Peter and Andrew lived in the same house, and they also talk about Peter's mother-in-law, who was healed by Jesus Christ. So I'm not sure if she actually lived in the same house. John 1:40-42, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. So these said he had followed John the Baptist, and Andrew found Peter, and he took Peter to Jesus Christ. So Andrew introduced Peter to Jesus. So Andrew, he was one of John the Baptist's followers. Before Christ came on the scene, he left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. He was a brother of Simon Peter. He lived with Simon Peter, introduced Simon Peter to Jesus. He was a common fisherman. He's mentioned in the account of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And with Philip, arranged an interview between certain inquiring Greeks and Jews. So I've got some tidbits of each one of the apostles, and this was just one of the things he did. And then James, the son of Zebedee. James and John were both sons of Zebedee. And Matthew 4:20 to 22, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So again, to me, this is without hesitation. They wanted to follow Jesus Christ and learn from him, and so they left. And James and John were actually partners with Andrew and Peter in the fishing business. It says it right here, Luke 5:10, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Mark 3:17, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And there's speculation as to what the sons of thunder means by the different commentators. And we don't really know for sure, but that's what the Lord named them. Mark 10:35-45, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we will desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand, on the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever shall be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So I put this in here because it shows that, you know, even the apostles, they had their moments when maybe they did things that weren't quite pleasing to the Lord, or maybe that weren't right, and they all had their strengths and they all had their witness or their weaknesses. So this is one area where I think James and John had to learn from the Lord. And I think that's the way it is in the church. I think that's the way it is with the call ministry today, that we all have weaknesses, we all have strengths, but the Lord pulls it all together. He pulls the body all together. Everybody in the church, all members of his church, they have to have different things that they're good at and that they're strong at. Acts 12, 1 through 2, this was when James was killed. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. So this might be the first apostle that was actually martyred. So summary, he was a common fisherman, he was a brother of John, one of the sons of thunder. He has to be given a place at the left or right hand of Christ in his glory. And Peter, James, and John were by themselves with Jesus on multiple occasions, referred to as James, the first to differentiate from other apostles, or the other apostle James with the same name. So there were two apostles that were named James. And it gets a little confusing sometimes in the scripture to try to determine who's who. And believed to be the first martyr of the 12 apostles. And then we have John, and there's a lot that's written about John. Matthew 4:21, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. John 19:25-27, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And John often refers to himself as the one who Jesus loved multiple times in the scripture. And, you know, I was thinking about this and the love that existed between the apostles and the disciples, and they had a love for one another, and it was so much that, you know, John was willing to take Mary to live with him after the Lord died. John 21:20-22, then Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper. This is the Last Supper, and John leaned on the Lord. And said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And so We know through the Book of Mormon that John and the three Nephites, their bodies were translated, and so that they're still with us until this day. Their bodies were changed, and so they're still walking the earth. And they didn't die. And then, of course, John wrote the Gospel of John, and the book of 1 John, the book of 2 John, and the book of 3 John. And if you look at these, they start off very similar. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. And then 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. So, I mean, it's apparent that it's the same author being John. And then John wrote the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So John, again, he was a common fisherman, like the previous three. He was the brother of James. He was one of John the Baptist's followers. He left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. He was one of the sons of thunder. He was asked to be given a place at the left or right hand of Christ in his glory. And like I said before, Peter, James, and John were by themselves with Jesus on multiple occasions. He refers to himself as a disciple whom Jesus loved. At the Last Supper, he leaned on the Master's breast. He cared for the Lord's mother after Christ's death, was recognized the risen Lord on the shores of Galilee. I don't have that scripture in here. His body was translated, and he is with us today. And he wrote the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. And then Philip. And now this is when we start getting to the apostles, which we don't know very much about. It says, first, John 1, 43 to 44, the day following when Jesus met Peter, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And that's about it. There really isn't a whole lot about Philip in the scriptures. So he lived in Bethsaida. He introduced Nathanael to Jesus, was present. We're going to talk about that in here in a second. And he was present at the feeding of 5,000. He was mildly reproved for his misunderstanding when he asked Jesus to show them the Father. So there are other scriptures that I didn't include in here. He asked the Father, Philip did, he asked the Father, you know, we want to see the Father. And Jesus said, well, I've been with you so long. Do you not recognize the Father? Because he is expressed image of the Father. And that was Philip who asked him that question. So Bartholomew, sometimes he's called Bartholomew, sometimes he's called Nathanael in the scriptures. And he was under the fig tree. And this is the account of that. John 1, 45 to 50, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And that word means deceit. So Philip, he's getting Nathanael, and he's going to take him to the Lord. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? thou shalt see greater things than these. And I think, I was thinking about this, and I mean, this to me is an act of faith, of simple faith on Nathanael's part. It didn't take much for him to believe that he was the Son of God. The Lord said he saw him under the fig tree. And based on that, he believed he was the Messiah. So this was perhaps one strength of Philip. Summary, he was introduced to Jesus by Philip, believed Jesus was the Son of God after Jesus noted he saw Nathanael under the fig tree, went fishing with Peter after the resurrection of Christ. His home was in Cana of Galilee. So Nathanael, he had that faith. Bartholomew is named in each of the three synoptic gospels as an apostle, but Nathanael is not mentioned. So that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Nathanael is named twice in John's gospels, and Bartholomew, not at all. But it's the same person. And now we know Matthew, Levi. So we had four fishermen. We had the other two. Is that right? I think we're on the seventh one. This was Matthew. Does anyone know what Matthew's occupation was? Tax collector, yep. So he was a tax collector, you know, working under the Romans. So because of that, the Jews did not really like him very much. So, as again, it's another difference between these people. The Lord pulled all these people from different areas, different types of people with different characteristics. And some of them weren't even liked, but the Lord saw something in them, saw humbleness in him. So perhaps Matthew, you know, he probably had some money, and he held a feast for Jesus and others, and I think I've got that in here, right here. Matthew 9:9-12, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. So publican, and a tax collector. As a tax collector. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? So they did not like publicans. And they didn't like that Jesus was eating with sinners. And when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And so we think of those people that we talk to. We need to reach out to those people that are sick and try to help them out. But we're not to be yoked with them, that we're not supposed to let them rub off on the things that they do. We need to separate ourselves from them in that regard, but we need to look for ways we can help them. And the gospel is not just for special people, it's for everyone. Luke 5:27-28, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. So I put this in here because it uses the name Levi. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. So does this name Levi, does it tell you anything maybe about Matthew? Maybe that he was of the tribe of Levi, possibly. So he was a collector of taxes. He left all to follow Jesus. It said that. It said he left all in that one of those scriptures we read. He held a feast for Jesus and the disciples, so I think he had money. This Hebrew name Levi is understood by many that he is of the priestly lineage. We do not have a detailed account of his ministry. He wrote the Gospel of Matthew, and it's kind of surprising. If you look in the scriptures, the book of Matthew even, there's really not very much written about him. And you won't find anything really in the Acts. So he wrote this whole book, but we know very little about him and his ministry. But according to tradition, he is spoken of by other than scriptural writers as one of the most active of the apostles after Christ's death, and has operated in the lands far from Palestine. Okay.
Evangelist,
okay. Thomas Didymus is the other name for Thomas. And when, what do you remember about Thomas? Doubting Thomas. And again, we don't know very much about Thomas, but we do know what happened according to the book of John here. In John 20, 24 to 29, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands, the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of his nails, of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So the faith of Thomas, you know, is not one of his strengths here in this occasion. So again, all these apostles, they all had their strengths, they all had their weaknesses. Just as it is with us. He was a witness of the raising of Lazarus. His devotion to Jesus is shown by his desire to accompany the Lord to Bethany. So this is in the scripture. Though persecution in that region was almost certain, to his fellow apostles, Thomas said, let us also go that we may die with him. But he doubted the Lord's resurrection. So at one time here, he was very zealous. The Lord was with him. And he wanted to follow the Lord, and he said even to the point of death, but then we find that he didn't have the faith later. James, son of Alphaeus. And I think, you know, if we think about it, I think each one of us can relate to something of some of these apostles. He appears only 4 times in the New Testament, each time in a list of the 12 apostles. So that's it. He's often identified with James the Less. That's James the Second. And commonly known by that name in church tradition. He's also labeled the Minor, the Little, the Lesser, the Younger, or James the Second. But he was an equally important apostle. So that was the other James. He is distinct from James, the son of Zebedee. There is acknowledged uncertainty concerning the identity of James, the son of Alphaeus, as the James, or one of the James, is referred to in Acts and the epistles, and a plenitude of controversial literature on the subject is extant. So it refers to James in some of the scriptures that follow the Gospels in the New Testament, but you don't. In some cases, you don't know for sure which James they're talking about. That's what's trying to be said here. And then Simon Zelotes. He's nowhere named in the scripture apart from his colleagues. He's just numbered with the 12. And then the name Zelotes probably is a member of a Jewish sect or faction known for its zeal or a zealot. So, you know, perhaps the Lord saw that zeal in him and he knew he could use him with that strength. But he was willing to follow the Lord and turn from the Mosaic law into the new covenant. We have Judas, or Jude, or Thaddeus. So there's two Judases named in Scripture. There's Judas Iscariot, which we saw today, and then there's this Judas, or Jude, or Thaddeus, who is different. Luke 6:16, and Judas, the brother of James. So he's the brother of James. And Jude 1:1, he wrote the book of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So he was linked with Simon the Zealot. I think there's some scriptures in that regard. He was called Labius Thaddeus by Matthew, Thaddeus by Mark. Judas, the brother of James, by Luke, and Judas, not Iscariot, by John. He wrote the book of Jude, and then according to tradition, he went to Persia to preach, and he was martyred there. And then we have the last one, Judas Iscariot. Matthew 16:14-16, and then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. So he coveted money. Matthew 26:23-25, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And we heard this morning. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. So I didn't know this, but Judas Iscariot was the only Judean named among the 12. All the others were from Galilee. According to tradition, it was understood to have been a resident of Kerioth, which is a small town in Judea, just west of the Dead Sea. And he was the treasurer of the apostolic group. So, you know, the money was a temptation for him, and being a treasurer really didn't help. His love of money drove him to betray Jesus to his enemies. And Judas killed himself in despair. He hung himself. So in summary, all these men had strengths and weaknesses, with the exception, well, Judas, I suppose he had strengths at one time, but he failed in the end. They had a desire to serve. Many of them were common. They were unlearned men. They had varied backgrounds. They learned the skills they needed, and Jesus saw something special in each one of them. So my question is, would you follow Jesus if Jesus asked you to do something, to follow him? Maybe not as a minister, but in some other way. Have you followed the calling that the Lord has for you? Because he has a calling for each one of us, and gifts and talents he's given each one of us. And so we have to be ready to serve. And this was more of a presentation today. It really wasn't a sermon so much, but I think that we can learn from each one of these individuals. I even see myself in some of them. You know, I know my weaknesses and maybe some of the things I'm good at. But I'm glad that the Lord uses us. He sees what he does in us. He knows all of our weaknesses and how we fail and how we sinned against him, but he still reaches out to us and he calls us to something greater. And I'm very thankful for that the Lord is willing to work with me and to work with you. And so we're all here today. I thank you.